Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
You know, whenever we think in regard to Satan, Satan is relentless in every pursuit that he comes after us with in life. We understand, according to what the Bible identifies for us, that Satan understands our weaknesses, Job chapters 1 and Job chapter 2. And he's constantly going to and fro upon the face of the earth, looking at our weaknesses and seeking to devour us, as the passage says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He's constantly looking to the weaknesses that we have and the things that this world has to offer. And good people, he will take advantage of those weaknesses and the opportunities if you and I will give him the time of day. He makes sin look very appealing. He will take the evil of the world and in some form or fashion convince us that it in some sense looks good. He will take sin that is obviously sin before God and he will try to instill within our mind that God is okay with it and that God will not surely condemn us for the participation in these types of things that the Bible would identify as sin. He's able to transform not only sin, but he's able to transform himself into an angel of light. Why? Because, good people, he will use that tool against us. In all things, the Bible identifies for us that he uses the pleasures of this world. He will use the things that this world has to offer, the things that are enticing to us, the things that look good to us, the things that the world itself will participate in. He will take and use these things to introduce you and me to sin and to sever our relationship with the Almighty God. Yes, good people, Satan is indeed relentless. And if truth be told, each and every one of us face daily challenges. Every one of us live here in the flesh, and as a result of living in the flesh, the Bible identifies for us that we are tempted with the fleshly desires, with the things that the world has to offer. In all of this, we understand that some struggle more than others. New converts come to my mind there in regard to their struggling. Why? Because they are now beginning their walk with our God. They're beginning their new life. They do not fully understand what it means to be a Christian, and as a result of that, they will fall more times than not to begin with, and God wants them not to fall, but rather to pick themselves up and to go forward whenever they have fallen down. In all of this, then, we understand is that many constantly struggle with sin. The Apostle Paul struggled with sin even in his life as an apostle, and God wants you and me to understand that we will struggle with sin, but yet at the same time, we must not cave in to sin, to the things that this world has to offer, to the temptations that Satan lays before us. We need to come above that. We need to step beyond the things that Satan will put in front of us and to make certain that our steps do not go according to the world, but rather according to the way that will be pleasing and acceptable to our God. Every single one of us, as adults, as well as our youth, struggle. But today I tell you that I believe that our youth is hit hardest of all. They are hit from every side. They are taunted by their peers to participate in the things that this world has to offer. In fact, I believe in part that that's what goes on in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, where the Apostle Paul is dealing with Timothy and he identifies unto him, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, to let no one despise his youth. In all of this, you need to understand that you have an obligation before God. You have a responsibility to know God's law and to live according to the standards that he lays down, just as what each and every one of us. And not only do I want the youth to understand that, adults, I want you and me to realize some of the things that these kids go through. They are faced with multiple temptations in and throughout the course of their life. Some kids are introduced to alcohol. They have friends who participate in drinking. And as they go to school, sometimes they are introduced to these things even at the school, out in the parking lot, at basketball games and football games and things of that nature. People will go out of the stadium and they will participate in the alcohol that they have there in the parking lot and things of that nature. Why do I know? Because I know it was there even whenever I was in school. In this also we understand that many teens are offered illegal drugs. And understand whenever I use the terminology illegal drugs, even drugs that are legal but they're being used illegally. I am appalled by the number of teens who will involve themselves in partaking of drugs. I do not understand that at all. Why they would want to mess their mind up. And in messing their mind up, they also destroy their life. Kids, do not give in. Never say yes to drugs, but always say no. And understand the damages that are there. The consequences are not only here, but the consequences are also eternal. Several are drawn also into foul language. And in this, I mean, is that they will participate in cursing. They will also participate in dirty jokes and things of that nature. Kids, understand that you cannot fall to these temptations that Satan lays out there. But also, good people, I want us to understand that the majority face sensual or sexual temptations. It's nothing new. Our God has indeed created us as sexual human beings. He's placed within us desires as well as abilities. And God wants us to understand that most certainly He has created us as such, but He wants us to keep ourselves in check, to control ourselves, and to only give ourselves into that type of a relationship in a scriptural marriage. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Sex is only for those who are married, and that is it. How are our children being introduced to sexual temptations and thoughts? Good people, in a number of ways, but dancing is one of the ways. Dancing is one of Satan's tempting tools. He will use dancing to children to get them involved on the dance court, to take it even beyond the dancing to other places. Because people also, we need to understand that dancing is a very dangerous vice. It is a vice that not only within itself can be sinful, in like figure, it can lead to multiple other types of sins. And kids, understand that while you may not understand all of the things that I'm alluding to today, there will be a day when, by all means, you will understand these things. And parents, you need to make certain that you take the time to explain on a more personal level with these children in regard to the temptations that are out there. Having laid out that dancing is indeed a tool of Satan, that it is indeed a very dangerous vice, in like figure, I want us to understand that dancing is not always sinful. How is that? A husband and wife may choose to dance in the confines of their home as a husband and wife, and by all means, there's nothing at all wrong with that. In like figure, there may be some types of dance that is not sinful. I have not taken the time to explore all of the avenues that we would identify as dancing. But what I have looked at is that there is a plethora of things that we would identify as dancing, such as ballet dance is to give body gestures to tell a story. Also, there is tap dancing. It's the movement of the feet to create rhythm and timely beats. But in like figure, we understand is that there is folk dance, and it's steps to reflect life from various regions of which an individual's from. That which I want us to focus our mind upon today is the modern dance. It's body movements and touch to express feeling. Good people, bodily movement to express a feeling that is within, and by all means that feeling is given by God, but yet at the same time it must be in check according to New Testament Christianity. In regard to the modern dance, good people, we need to understand that it is immoral and ungodly. Anyone who has ever studied, anyone who has ever seen, and anyone who has ever experienced, for that matter, the modern dance could not help but agree with the fact that it is immoral. It is immoral in everything that it has to offer, and in no sense is it godly. In no direction at all can a person take it and say, well, I can see God in this or in that of it. Good people, it cannot happen. Why? Because in all of these things, we understand that it leaves nothing to the imagination. It's even more than just close dancing. Some scholars, some of our own brethren who have explored these things, and even those who commentate concerning what they find in relation to this, is that they say that the modern dance is just a performance of sexual acts with the clothes on. Good people, it leaves absolutely nothing to the imagination. And it is extremely harmful and sinful to the soul.
It is extremely dangerous to our children and to any who would participate in this type of behavior. Previous generations, members would not defend dancing. There was a time whenever members of the body of Christ realized that indeed we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. That within us, the treasure of God is given. We are indeed that vessel, and as a result of that, they would not defend the modern dance in any sense, but rather they would have looked at it and would have said that we cannot participate in it. We must not participate in it. And members of the body of Christ who have who have children, they would not have allowed their children to go to these type of things. Preachers taught very sternly that the modern dance is indeed sinful. He realized that he had the obligation, the responsibility to proclaim the whole counsel of God. And as the preacher stood before the congregation, he spoke as the oracles of God. He presented the message exactly as it was given. He was not concerned with tickling the ears of mankind, is what we find present today, but rather he stood firm in God's Word, in everything, and including where we should stand with the modern dance. Elderships were strong. They realized that indeed they had been appointed by God for the purpose of overseeing the flock, for watching out for the souls of mankind, for leading and shepherding the flock in the standards according to godliness. And congregations stood firm. They would have rightfully said, we must not give way to the devil. We must not allow our children to engage in this sinfulness. But today, good people, in this present age, we find that many are confused about the issue. Why are they confused about the issue? I think sometimes we play situational ethics. And what I mean by that is that whenever we have children who grow to the point where they want to participate in things, we will say, well, you know, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe we just need to let them go and to do whatever it is that they want to do. And maybe we did those things whenever we were younger. Some of this, I'm speaking from experience. An individual who used to go to the dances, who used to go to the proms and things of that nature. And whenever our children grow, even though that we may have developed a mindset against it, sometimes we will say, well, you know, I seem to turn out okay. Or brother or sister so-and-so went and they turned out okay. In all of this, many people are confused in regard to the issue, and preachers often now are watering down the message, not only about dancing, but about other things. They're not proclaiming the whole counsel of God. They're not standing up and preaching against these things. Why? Because it's not popular. Because the majority do not want to hear it. Because it does not tickle the ears. It steps on the toes. And good people, in all of this also, we realize that sometimes we find is that some congregations have conformed. They're no longer focused upon being the light unto the world, but rather they're wanting to be like the world, of which Jesus Himself said that we live in the world, but that we must not participate in the things that the world has to offer. And in some cases, elders have softened. They have given way to saying to preachers, don't preach about this or about that. They've given way to members and saying, well, you know, we're not going to say that you should or shouldn't do this or that. You just go off and do whatever. Just don't let us know about it. The good people, in all of this, we need to understand is that members should not be confused about it. Ministers have no right to water down the message, and congregations must not conform but transform to the ways of our God, and elders are not to soften but rather they are to stand according to the standards that our God has laid down. According to the Bible, our God condemns participation in lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness, good people? It is lewd emotions. It can also involve filthy words. It is to engage in bodily movements and unchaste handling of the male and the female. Somebody says, well, Kevin, it doesn't say dancing. Good people, it says everything that is involved in this modern dance. Everything that this modern dance would entail indeed fits into the category here of lasciviousness. In all of this, then in like figure, Jesus Himself in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28 says that you and I are not to look upon an individual to lust after them. Well, what does a modern dance do? Good people, the modern dance, it entices the individual.
the participants to do what? To get close with one another. Not only to get close with one another, but to engage even into kissing, into improper touching. Not only in regard to this, but then to take it further into the mind. Do you remember what happened with David and Bathsheba? It began where? It began in his eyes seeing, and then not only in his eyes seeing, with what his eyes had saw, now his heart's desire is to go after that. And it's based out of that, then he sends Nathan to go and to retrieve Bathsheba and to bring her unto him, and then wanted to go to the people who went to the very next level. In all of this, and somebody says, well, he wasn't dancing. Yeah, but his mind was there in regard to these things, and dancing will get the mind to thinking about these types of sexual things. And you and I are commanded not to look upon someone to lust after them. And our God instructs us to abstain from all appearances of evil. Somebody says, Kevin, what are you trying to say? We need to be very careful. And we need, as parents, as well as a congregation, to encourage our children not to go to the school dances, the proms. And I'm also going to speak to the adults here. Not to be engaged in going to nightclubs and other social dances. Why? Because the world itself even recognizes these things to be at least questionable. There are times when people will say to those who are members of the church who go to these type things, well, I can't believe I saw you here. Well, why would they say such a thing? Because in their mind, they know that this thing is at least questionable, if not sinful. Also, we understand, according to what Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, that we are to pray that we will not be led into temptation, but that we will be delivered from these things. Can we really and truly pray that I will not be led into temptation and then go to the dances? That would do what? That would tempt us? Well, good people, that prayer would be in vain. We need to be careful about what it is that we will participate in. Some people will present arguments and say, but what if I don't have bad thoughts? Well, first off, I say that if you're a guy saying that, I can speak from a male's perspective and to say, if you're saying that more times than not, I don't believe you. Why? Because been there, done that, and I know what it has to offer. And even if you're able to control your mind to where you do not have bad thoughts, in like figure, you are presenting yourself and your date or your dance partner out on a floor in a public realm to where others are visibly able to see the movements and the things that are going on to the point to where you may cause them to have the thoughts as well as to proceed forth with the actions. And we are commanded by God in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, Proverbs 23 and verse 7, to realize that you and I must not participate in leading others according to sinful things. The people of the Bible also, others will also present. Well, doesn't the Bible condone dancing? Such as Luke chapter 15, verses 25 through 27. You remember the context there where the prodigal son had left his father's home and had gone out and had squandered all of his living and began to be in want. And the Bible identifies for us that he found himself amongst swine feeding the pigs. In that, this would have been very disgusting for a Jewish boy to have done. It would have been unthought of, unheard of. And the Bible says that he came to himself. And whenever he came to himself, he was at a fork in the road. Do I stay here and die, or do I return home, humble myself, and go back to the Father, where I had a roof over my head, where I had food, shelter, and clothing? He chose to go home. And whenever he went home, the Bible tells us that the Father saw him from afar off, and he ran to him and embraced him. And certainly we understand that this, in the context, identifies the way that God deals with us, the love that God has for us. Whenever we would depart and we come back, God is ready and willing to run and to embrace us. But note the context. The Bible also says then that they had a festivity, a celebration. As a result of that, the context reveals that they were dancing out in public. Good people, in this, we need to understand is that, number one, it was not the modern dance, nor was it any hip-hop or anything like that. What's going on? It's more of a rejoicing, a jumping up and down for joy that this young man has come home. In no sense did it ever resemble the dance that I'm talking about today. Not the modern dance.
In fact, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 again. Lasciviousness. We must not participate. God does not condone, but He condemns the modern dance. But also some people will say, but Kevin, is it wrong even if I do not participate in it? In that, I was reading some illustrations in regard to presenting this lesson. And there's a story of a father and mother who had taken a very strong stand and said to their children, you will not be going to the school dances or to the prom. And they had held to that until the children had grown to the point to where now they are really wanting to go. Everybody else is going. And this one daughter goes to her father and says, Dad, everybody's going. You and Mom went whenever you were younger. And the father says, yeah, but now we understand more fully the temptations that are there, the dangers that are involved, and we do not want you to go. And the daughter just threw a fit. And she says, you're not fair. It's not right. And finally, after days of this, and her persistence, the father says, okay, fine, if you want to go, you'll go, but I'm driving you there. So they go and they buy her a dress, and on the way to the dance, they pass a coal mine. And the father pulls up, tells the daughter, get out, and I want you to walk through the coal mine. And she says, Dad, have you not seen the way I'm dressed? I can't walk through there. I'll get dirty. He says, well, I don't want you to touch anything. She says, I don't have to touch anything. She says, I'm still going to get dirty. And he says, that's my point. He says, even if you go to the dance and you don't participate, he says, you're going to be affected by what you see and what you hear in all of that. Good people, the boat can do well in the water. But if you get water in the boat, it's not going to float long. And you and I live in a world, and we can participate in the ungodly things that this world, we can participate in the godly things that this world has to offer. But if we ever allow ungodliness to come into our life, then we will not float long. In all of this, some people will even say, aren't we to become all things to all men, that we might, as Paul said, by all means save some? Good people, we are to be a light unto the world and not to be like them who are in darkness. But to realize that in all of this, that becoming all things to all men is not what Paul had under consideration. He did not participate in sin. He stayed away from that. But what he meant is that whenever it became customary and those customs did not violate the laws of God, then by all means, he didn't see anything wrong with becoming as them. Yet at the same time, it does not apply at all to what we identify here this morning as this modern dance. How can we help them? Church, we need to make certain that we educate concerning what this modern dance has to offer in regard to the way in which our God presents these things and how people will be viewed whenever they stand before Him. Church, we need to make certain that we teach others these traditions that are taught in the Scripture, but understand, parents, not only does the church have an obligation, in like figure, it begins with the parents. Parents must make certain, fathers, that we bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And parents need to make certain that we train our children according to the high standards of our God. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. And then also parents need to learn. Parents must learn to say no. Giving in to our kids with everything, every and anything that they want, is not healthy. And I'm saying even beyond this dancing stuff. But we need to learn to say no to them, to explain to them, as we've laid out in Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, that evil company corrupts good morals. We need to let them understand is that we have an obligation before God not to participate, but rather to abstain from all appearances. Not just the evil, but even the appearance of evil.
and to realize that if we do participate, that indeed, that God would look at us and that He would see the ways in which these things have affected us. And as a church, I contend that we need to provide alternatives for these kids. We need not only to stand in the pulpit or in our classes and to say, you should not participate in this or that, and expect them to go off and to do something godly. Yes, kids, you should go off and do something godly. But at the same time, as a church, we need to have some things in place, not always, but I'm going to say in more times than not, in the things that we're saying don't go do, we need to have things in place as an alternative for them. This year, we have some of our members who have made plans and are making plans for a prom alternative. So today, while I stand before you and I say, kids, choose not to go to the prom, we're also able to say, we have an alternative for you to go to this and to participate with those of like precious faith, to go out and eat, to have a time where you go and to do something that's recreational and you're not going to be tempted with the things that the world has to offer. As a church, we need to give them alternatives to the things of Satan. We need to give them things that are godly. And our youth must commit themselves to God, only to our God. Kids, you need to say to yourself, I'm going to serve God no matter what. And no matter what my friends may be doing, no matter how tempting it may be, I'm not going to give in to it. I'm going to stand where God wants me to stand. I'm not even going to go close to the line. The lesson today can indeed be challenging. And I would figure that I have some parents who are sitting out there, maybe, and I pray not, some burning, saying, can't believe he'd say that. There may be others who are scratching their heads saying, Kevin, are you trying to say that if my kid goes to the dance, that his soul or her soul or my soul, our soul, would spend eternity in hell? Good people, today I stand before you and I tell you, I'm not the judge. God is the judge. But I do have an obligation, as I've done this morning, to present the Scripture that I believe does speak about these things that we need to know as we go through life and that we will be judged for and on whenever we stand before God in judgment. What is it that I'm trying to say? I hope to communicate what Paul did to the saints at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Don't give place to the devil. How many of us could say, in going and allowing our children to participate in the modern dance, is that giving place for the devil? Good people, my conclusion as I stand before you today would be, it most certainly is. And let's not give that opportunity. Let's not place those temptations in front of our children and kids. Don't fall to those temptations as you go out here and try to live your life to God. Are you a New Testament Christian? If not, why not? Why don't you give your life to God? Whenever you give your life to God, it is indeed the greatest thing that you'll ever do, and it is by far the most peaceful that you will be able to live in your life after having done so. If you're not a Christian, you must confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. Submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you want to become a child of God and you've not yet done that, we want to invite you and encourage you.